to greet you in Jesus' name. It is good to be back home again. I always do enjoy traveling and visiting other people, other churches, and hearing what other people are experiencing in the Lord and seeing their journey with the Lord. But I have to say that I'm thankful that God has given this people group to me. I feel blessed, I feel challenged and encouraged, and I just feel very thankful. Maybe we can just all stand and we'll have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning again with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your word that was shared with us here this morning already, and just pray, Lord, that you would just have your way and do your work in us through the things that were shared. And Lord, we also pray this morning for the things that we want to look into, Father, here this morning. I just pray that you would, even now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for the things that you have for us. Pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, we do ask that you would help us to be able to receive those things. Lord, we just pray for your people, wherever they are this morning. Just want to commit each one to you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one verse that I would like to look at this morning, and that is in Luke chapter 22. And I was just reading over some verses here recently on what Jesus experienced there on that Good Friday day and Easter morning there, but especially here in verse 42, in the title that I would like to leave with us here this morning is Being in the Will of God. And as I came across this verse, we can see what Jesus was facing here, and that it was something that he had to deal with. And it is something that we need to deal with. And not only once, but probably many times in life. But we see here in verse 42, in chapter 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We recognize here in this verse that Jesus was at a place that he realized he was going to be facing some things that he didn't really desire to face. But his communication with his Father were as such here, not my will, but thine be done. We see a heart attitude here that he's surrendering his will, his life, into the hands of his Father. And I've talked to people in different times. They talk about their life story and things that it's like, well, you know, I tried God, or, and, you know, all these things happen. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good experience. The thought that I would like to leave with us is, if we are willing to give up our will and be in the will of our Heavenly Father, it is always the best place. And yes, you know, life may not always go exactly the way that we would like for it to go, but we will have the most blessed life if we do that. And so as I was pondering that and thinking about maybe some life examples that we can experience, that we can think about as we ponder this verse, and just in a physical realm, maybe something that I was pondering is, and maybe something for the children that they can grasp and grab a hold of and take home with them, is if it's completely dark outside and you're asked to go outside to the barn or the garage, whatever you have, and you have to go outside and get something or do a chore, there's something out in the dark there that you're afraid of. Maybe you know that there's some skunks out there, or there's some wildlife out there, or something that you're afraid of. And it's so dark that you can only see a couple of feet, not very far at all. And so you're given the option of taking a flashlight with you, or you can take maybe your pellet gun or a .22, something to, like, if a skunk comes up or a wild animal comes up, you can defend yourself. If you can't see very far, you know, which one would be the most useful for you? If we go in the arm of the flesh, we think it's like, well, you know, I have to protect myself. I can't see very far. I'm going to take a weapon with me. But if we want to be able to see further and be able to see around us and see, we would probably choose a flashlight, because we can shine around and we can make sure that we stay away from whatever we're afraid of. And the darkness is pushed out. And just like for us to think in those lines that, you know, when we try to live life our own way, we can't see very far at all, and we're totally in our own hands. But if we yield our lives over to our Heavenly Father and we allow and invite Him to have His will in our lives, it totally changes things. And we can know whatever is out there, that there's protection, and that there, it's whatever takes place is supposed to happen. And so we can just, our vision changes, and we can just see life so much better. As I was pondering some things in my life and thinking about, you know, what does that mean? What has that meant for me in my journey, you know, yielding my life to God and trusting in Him? In my younger years, thinking about times that when I was still under my Father and still, you know, what my father decided pretty much had an impact on my life. And thinking about that when we still lived in Pennsylvania, and my dad chose to move out to an outreach that the church was having there, and we moved out to Huntington County, you know, that had quite an impact in my life. And I had choices to make. I could choose to rebel against those ideas and, you know, the idea of moving away from one set of friends and finding new friends and starting a new church, not knowing what to expect. I had, I obviously had decisions to make. And I, you know, part of it sounded exciting, but there was another part of me that's like, it felt, just didn't feel like something I really wanted to face. But I chose to yield my life to submit to my Father and to embrace it and to follow through with it. And some of the things that, by making that decision, some of the things that I faced was walking away from a job that I loved and spending weeks and months in preparing to move the farm that my father lived on. And then it meant that I would also be willing to travel to the new farm before we moved and spend weeks putting crops in, preparing the land and the buildings and working long, hard hours from morning to night. And on top of that, it also meant that I was helping a neighbor's farm that one of the other families was moving to. And so by making the decision that I made, I worked many hours, many weeks, and I remember night after night when I was 17 years old, I was so tired that sometimes I didn't even bother taking a shower when I was very dirty because I was just exhausted. And at one point I realized that it's like, whoa, I need to do better, because I realized my bed was all dirty, and it was like, yeah, I need to think about those things. So that was one decision that, you know, that affected my life. And, you know, we surrender our will to do the right thing, and that was an area that affected me. And, you know, lo and behold, 5 or 6 years later, I helped my father do that again. And there was, you know, there was things that I needed to work through with all of that. But I also remember times that I chose, you know, that things came up and I was like, well, I felt like I have a right to this. I should be allowed to do these things. And knowing that it would not be okay with my parents if I chose to do those things. And I made choices of not surrendering my will to my parents in those younger years. And, you know, I just remember every time that, looking back, you know, the times that I did choose to go down those roads, that they were not good roads. They did not bear good fruit. I didn't get the benefits from it that I thought I would. You know, it was, yeah, I had so-called fun, and, you know, were some of those things actually wrong in themselves? No, not necessarily. But they were for me, because I knew that it was something that I was going against what my father wanted for me. And so those are, you know, those are the two sides of, you know, when we purposefully go against what we know that we should do versus, yielding our lives and doing the right thing. You know, we feel we experience two different things. We experience in the hardships, we experience joy and peace. We experience, you know, even when we're tired and exhausted, we still feel good about ourselves. We know we're doing the right thing. Versus when we choose to go down other roads that are not so. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I just want to read this chapter from starting in verse 1 down through 17. And here in this chapter, we see some of God's written word of things that, examples that we know that God is giving us here, directions that he's giving us. Starting in verse 1 in chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Just a couple of things here in these verses here that we see. You know, we're called to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Verse 3 and 4 there, it tells us of the things that we're not to be involved in. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, foolish talking, jesting, things of that nature. The end of verse 4 there, it tells us rather to be of a thankful people, giving of thanks. Who are we to be giving thanks to? When we look at the life that could be ours, if we hadn't experienced Christ and we're redeemed from those things, we're forgiven of those things, and now we can look over our lives and we can be thankful. And that's what God wants us to experience. We're called to walk as a children of light, not of darkness, but of light. In verse 15, tells us that to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then in verse 17 there, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand that? Well, there's many, many areas that God's word is very clear on, and we can go down through a chapter like here, and we can quickly see the things that brings glory to God. We can see the standard that he wants us to live, and it's a little bit like my relationship with my father. You know, when I choose to listen to those words and to apply them to my life, no matter how hard, no matter the cost, it brings peace because I know that it's right. But when we find ourselves in situations where we've made the wrong choice and we have let some of those things into our lives, you know, that's why Jesus was willing to put his life in the will of the Father. That's why he was willing to let go and say, not my will, but yours be done. Because he knew God's plan, and he knew that we needed to be redeemed. And so we can experience, this morning we can experience that forgiveness and peace, and we can be again finding ourselves in verse 15, not as fools but as wise, and we can find ourselves understanding what the will of the Lord is for our lives, because we have been forgiven. And we can experience verse 4 there. We can feel like from our hearts we have a reason to be thankful. To thank God for the peace that we have. So we see here in just this chapter things that are clearly spelled out in his word that we are called to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have just another verse there. You know, God has called us to be a thankful people. He wants us to experience a joy from our hearts. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The call that we have, the way that God wants to work in our lives, is our lives will, the foolishness that happens in this world, that it puts those to shame. But there are things that in life that it seems sometimes that God's word isn't very clear on. How do I know exactly what God wants me to do in material things, like, you know, buying properties or homes or vehicles, you know, which job, what kind of job should I have? Where do I live? You know, does God care if I live in Newport or Kansas or Pennsylvania or wherever, wherever our heart, you know, wherever we might think? And, you know, things that I, you know, that some of us all face in one way or another, you know, which church do I go to? You know, we can pour through God's written word, and in his word there's, you know, it's probably not going to come up with an answer that, you know, you belong in Beacon of Light Christian Fellowship here in Plymouth, Maine. We're probably not going to find it written out that way. You know, young people, marriage, you know, is something that it's like, should I be pursuing marriage, or is that, you know, is that something that God wants me to be doing? You know, education, or, you know, where's my life headed? Those are questions that young people will often find themselves asking. And, you know, there are times that we struggle to really understand what we should be doing. But I would just like to encourage us that if we are pondering these things and looking at, you know, if there is an area in our lives that we just have a hard time finding the answer to, we don't really know, that if we go back and we start looking at Scripture and we take a step at a time and start applying Scripture into our lives, where we know that it is very clear, and we make sure that those things, that we are learning those things, and I believe, and my experience has been, that if we do that, that we start finding instruction in other areas that we feel like at first we thought that maybe it wasn't as clear. We find Scripture speaking into those different situations in way, and His Holy Spirit speaks to us and makes it becomes more and more clear. And things like, we turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we look at verse 33 here, and we just look at what this verse is telling us, and we take a verse like that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And, you know, the verses before that, he's talking about the things of that we're not to be overly concerned about. But I think, you know, any of these life things that we face, decisions that we have to make, and we have a hard time maybe understanding exactly what God wants me to be doing. But we take a verse like verse 33 here, and we apply that to my life. And we make God's word important first. and the instruction that he has given me. And we start applying that in whatever areas that we can find. And we put verses like that against the job I have, against the town that I'm thinking of moving to, against the church that I choose to attend, against if I'm thinking about getting married. And we just go down the list, and we start thinking about, if I make that decision, how will that affect me in this area in my life? Is it going to help me to seek Christ more? Is it going to enable me to live a closer walk with Jesus? Or is that decision going to push on me, and I'm going to be challenged to maybe, well, I'll probably have to compromise just a little bit here, and I'll have to put up with some things over here, and there's some more stuff on this over here. And, you know, if we find ourselves thinking down those lines, then we're probably choosing, you know, we're choosing to, it's like, well, I'm not really, really wanting God's input. This is something I really want to do. And so I'm going to venture out on my own. And I'm going, instead of taking that flashlight so I can see clearly, I'm going to choose to walk in just a little more darkness, because I really want to go this way. I want to do it on my own. The more we focus on God's written word, the more we can see his will for our lives. And we can see him giving, God giving us direction in areas that at first maybe seem not as clear. When I find myself coming to God and seeking his direction for my life, how do I find myself coming to him? Do I come to him asking for permission to do something? Do I come asking God to open the door if it is something that would be good for me or he sees pleasing to allow in my life? Do I invite him to also close the door if it's a direction that would be harmful for me or not helpful? Do I find myself seeking God and asking him for discernment in these decisions that I'm not clear on? When I'm seeking God, do I find myself doing all the talking? It's just a thought that hit me, you know. Sometimes, you know, you're in conversations, and I found myself in conversations, and maybe I'm doing all the talking, and my friends don't have the opportunity to give their 10 cents or their opinion on the matter. And it's like, well, you know, do I allow time, quiet time, so slow myself down and take the time that is needed that I can hear God speak into the situation. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 through 7 there, if we looked at that account there, we see Israel coming to Samuel, and, you know, they had desires. They wanted something pretty badly here, and their demands were that Samuel would find them a king. And if we read those verses there, we see God's response to this. It's like, well, you know, they're not coming against you, but they're coming against me. And he chose to give them a king. I trust this morning that isn't something that we would want. We wouldn't want to find ourselves in a place asking God to give us something that we want and not really taking it into consideration that maybe it's not what God wants for us. I trust that our hearts are open to God's say in the matters that we have in. But we can see here in this chapter, in these verses, that, you know, if we don't, God very well may give you the things that you ask him and demand of him. He may very well give them to you, but they will not bring what you were hoping it would bring. Things to ponder as we seek God's will, as we seek his will for our lives. And the doors, I believe, that God opens for us, Scripture will always support that. And so if we want to check, you know, just verify that we are doing, you know, we are doing what God would have us to do, we can just start, you know, looking at Scripture and taking verses and applying them to those situations and seeing if it holds water. Another thing that, you know, when God does open doors and he gives us, you know, we are walking in his will, it seems like often that when we go down these roads, you know, it requires something from us. It requires me to depend on him, to trust him. There's things that we go down roads that, well, I don't know about this. You know, I think about, you know, moving and, you know, helping my parents move. You know, there's unknowns. You don't know how exactly what the next step is going to look like, and you just have to trust the Lord. You know, thinking about when I moved to Maine, you know, there was a lot of blessings in moving here, and I was very excited about moving here and getting married, but there was certain things that I wasn't sure about. You know, I was used to being in bigger churches. I was used to having lots of people around that I knew, and I was used to having secure jobs. And that first winter, those things weren't there. I didn't have a secure job. I didn't have lots of different people to go see. I didn't have a bigger church to interact in. So, you know, I was stepping out in unknown areas in territory that I hadn't traveled before. And in so those are things that when we are just seeking and walking in His will, that I believe, you know, it pulls us outside of trusting in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and just becoming more vulnerable for Him. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 11, I'm sorry. Verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And just again thinking about when we're seeking direction, we're seeking God's will, I think this verse can really play a part in us finding the right answer, and that is, you know, if we choose, again, we choose to go out there and we just make a decision based on my feelings, the way I see things, versus, you know, seeking counsel from a people around me. And when I think about that, you know, it reminds me of in my younger years, you know, when I listened to the counsel of my father, it was a good thing. But when I chose, when I had opportunity to receive counsel, and I didn't, I chose rather not to listen to any counsel that came my way, but I chose to live based on my own understanding, it usually brought difficulty. And I experienced things that I wouldn't have needed to experience. But God in His mercy, you know, even in those situations, He uses them to bring us to our senses. And it's like, you know, you were out there on your own. And I believe that whole idea never ends in our lives. As we grow older, we have people that we can knock on. We have a church. We can reach out to each other and get good advice. So often when we're in the middle of something, it's hard for us to clearly see things the way they really are. And so getting other people's input is so helpful. And not only is it helpful, but it is the way that God has designed it. And so by doing that, we are not only reaching out to people, but we're yielding our lives to God. And we're inviting other people to speak into that situation. So may the Lord help us in these areas, and may we just grow stronger. So I just want to leave that with you, and may the Lord bless each one of you.